Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 18 of the Questions Bar. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs here in Washington, D.C. Thrilled to be with my partner, lifestylist Alina. She's my co-host in L.A. We started this podcast because Alina said, let's just record our conversations because other people will want to hear what we have to say. So I'm like, I'm in. So today we are with Erica Andrea, my new social media manager at Incandescent. But Erica brings so much to this party, I can't even tell you. She's a brilliant teacher, and she'll talk about that. And she also is a yogi, and she teaches kids yoga, and just on and on and on. So I'm going to kick it over to you, Miss Alina, so you can start our questions.
Okay. So just to those who may be listening for the first time, this is really just started as therapy for each other to talk and inspire each other with hope. And then the questions are meant for you to answer and share your story about yourself, but through the lens of the questions that can help other people as they're listening in their own lives, because they might see like, oh, she's going through what I'm going through. And you might get a little nugget of wisdom that might, you know, save somebody. So the first question, I don't remember which one is the first one, but I'm just going to ask, how do you stay sane right now? Because I feel like that's the biggest thing that I'm seeing online. People having anxiety, people are burning out. And how are you taking care of yourself? How are you still, you know, getting out of bed? Because I actually know people who cannot get out of bed because everything is so depressing. So, and when people go, oh my God, you also dealing with this? Like all of us are dealing with something, unless, you know, you're a robot or brainwashed, but, you know, people with a soul, with a heart are struggling. So how are you managing and how did you get yourself through this whole year?
Oh, this year was a brutal one. And I know that none of us are having a unique experience. This is a collective experience. So, and shout out to you guys for doing this. It is important to know you're not alone. I think when this year began, I knew I had to bring out the big dogs in terms of taking care of myself. And you might laugh, but I've been a preschool teacher 12 years, so it's the modality I know best, but that's how I take care of me. So I knew, I guess, that what I had to do was practice what I preach with my little guys. I have to take care of just the spot where my feet stand. So that, with my legs on top of that and my hips on top of my legs and my body on top of that and my head up there, that's what I'm in charge of. And that's all I can manage and control. Everything is feeling so deeply out of control because it is. But I think something that stresses me out, and probably you ladies as well and others, is this feeling that while things are out of control, somebody, some folks or some group, whatever, is trying to control me. And I don't like that feeling. I really love to be left to myself and to have autonomy and agency. So just to claim it, claim your space. Let people know where you begin and end, where your edges are, and let yourself know where you begin and end. So staying sane is, for me right now, coming back to this tiny patch of land, whatever I'm standing on, that's just me. And everything else, I just have to toss it up to the universe. Yeah.
You take a lot of naps?
Big time, yeah. Then my square footage is long, right? It's like I'm 5'4". So that's what I'm in charge of, right? 5'4" patch of nap space. Yes.
Yeah. Because when you said kindergarten, I was like, I try to treat myself as a kindergartner, I think a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I need to take a nap for world peace, because if I'm, oof, you know, if I take a peaceful nap, then I'm bringing peace to the world. And I'm also a nicer person. Eat my snacks.
Snacks.
Drink my water.
We never grow out of it, do we? It's the same.
I think maybe that's actually the problem with a lot of people, now that you brought this up, because I had somebody who shared that she couldn't get out of bed and she was living alone. Her mother just passed away. And I'm thinking, well, her mother treated her as a daughter, as a baby, and she wasn't treating herself as a baby. And I think that's so important to treat yourself as a little baby or as a kindergarten or whatever you want, but be like, honey, darling, what do you want? What kind of snack? You know, why are you in the mood? Like, take a nap when you're upset.
Yes.
I love that. Treating yourself as a kindergartner.
Yeah, it's been helpful. And I think when my teaching style is to meet all these children with neutrality always. It's not my place to form an opinion about them, even though there's always one from every year. I'm like, that little, you know, but to meet them with neutrality and to meet myself with neutrality too. To judge myself for napping until the sun is going down or something like that. I mean, who am I doing that judgment for? It's not going anywhere. I'm not getting paid to be judgmental, to form an opinion. And even on the plus side, oh, I'm doing so well and this and that. Even that too. Just meet it with some neutrality, the same way that I'd redirect a child. Like, okay, great. Okay, great. Okay, great. We're doing this. We're doing this. Same for myself. It's just, it has to be neutral. And that's where I think my steadiness could come into play.
You know what? I mean, this may be wild, but there's all kind of wild things. I mean, there's people that rent themselves for hugging. Maybe you should start a class for adults called How to Treat Yourself as a Kindergartner. And people will be there like to be treated like, hey, it's okay to feel the feelings. Okay. Or like who has a talking stick or let's take a collective nap, no touching, you know, and clothes or whatever. But I'm just thinking like maybe just for women, like treat yourself as a kindergartner, like rent a yoga studio and do a class.
Oh, I would. Brilliant. Brilliant. And you will get credits in my website when I log off of this and quickly go build that website. Yes.
I think it's such a good idea because we forget to treat ourselves as our own little daughters or sons, you know.
Big time.
And it's so important to treat yourself like that.
Big time. Yeah. Actually, Hope's daughter, Anna, who is my best friend, we have a really hilarious friendship and the way that we support each other, it's a long distance friendship. But one of Anna's reminders to me and compliments to me all the time that make me feel, okay, yeah, I'm doing all right. Anna always says, oh, Erica, you are so good at being your parent. So
yes.
I'm being dad to me, I'm being mom to me. Yeah. And so this is so funny. The pattern is totally tracking.
I love that because a lot of people don't parent themselves, and all the women I've worked with, without exception, I always told them if they had kids, I would say, you have another child that you're not taking care of. Like I had a client who would pack lunches for her kids, but not herself because there's not enough food. And I said, okay, can you do this one extra time? Like literally you take the grapes for your kids twice. You put the grapes for yourself in the basket one more time. You make lunches. You literally just make three. Just you're your own daughter. Mm-hmm. And it's so important we don't forget that.
So true.
I love that.
It reminds me of All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulghum, right? That was a book that was so important to me as I was growing up before I had my kids. So it's AnnaGibbs.com. You can check her out. She's an amazing photographer and videographer and just this badass 30-year-old woman who is coming into her own in all the amazing ways. So proud of women your age who are, you know, if I can say that without being pejorative, you know, that mm-hmm. we're just because we're passing the torch on to you guys.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Yeah. You know, you don't have the same opportunities that we have. You don't have the same, you know, we were, and Alina's younger than I. I'm 61. And so when my generation was raising up, you know, our goal, we were taught to have a family, to get married and have kids and have a career. We were that whole generation of that. And to watch my children beget that, right? And yeah. I raised my kids, I think, a little different than some of my besties, mm-hmm. Just because I married an artist and I'm a writer and, you know, I wanted, you know, my whole philosophy was you have to get in their skin and then step out of the way, right? So you see who they are, what they need, right? Which is to your point about what you learned in kindergarten, right? What do you want? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you thirsty? Right?
Yeah.
And I always put like the cups down where they could reach them when they were little so they could get their own water. And they always asked, could I have a snack, right? Because they know that, you know, you had to eat something green every day. It was so primal to their existence. And they both grew up to be these really good you know, they're healthy, they exercise, they eat right, they're fit, and they're smart as hell. Yeah. And they're doing the thing. But, you know, to you, Erica, sweetheart, just, you know, it's hard work.
It is.
Know? So it let's is. Go back. I just want to tell our audience, though. So for more than 12 years of experience, you worked in education, project coordination, and business advising. You're a social media expert, and you're helping all of our clients find a larger audience in the virtual world. So you call yourself a chaos organizer, an efficiency nerd, and a communications champion. I love that, too. So let's go back to our first question. I think Alina went to question number
three. I went three questions. Yeah, because I just felt like inspired because I'm just constantly riding this wave. Like, I feel great. And then I see something in the news and I'm like, oh, my God. And so I just wanted to ask whatever came to my mind. So
no, question perfect. Number four is a good place to start sometimes. Then you go to question one, right?
Our teacher is teaching. Usually we ask about the one miracle you can share to inspire others to believe in miracles when times are hard. So we're going to kick that over to you, Erica.
Tell us. Oh, man. Yeah. And when I read that question, I was like, ooh, I can go super specific. Like, this happened to me on X day and Y. Or just zoom out because Anna can attest to this. I'm not a... on paper, super spiritually reading type of person. But when folks get to know me, I am like, I depend on whim and whimsy and spontaneity a lot more than I think folks believe. I'm less brass tacks, even though I just like to organize. So I think the most true miracle that is a super, super reminder to me daily. It happened right here on Long Island, which, you know, is a whole island of lore in and of itself. But I do love it. And the beaches, yeah, they're a happy place. So I went down to my beach one day. I was forcing myself to relax, as we do. I had to set a timer on my phone to say, this is how long I will sit. And then I'm going home to freak out and have anxiety and be, you know, in a catastrophe mode. Okay, great. We organize the day with catastrophe at, you know, 2 p.m. So 1 p.m. is for sitting. So I'm down at the beach and I'm sure both of you can relate with that feeling of task anxiety in your stomach when it's, you can't even relax in the allotted time, right? Because you know the task is coming. And I'm looking at my timer. And as a teacher, I know to stay present. The timer hasn't gone off yet. All I'm in charge of is relaxing in this moment. Why is it being so difficult? And I sat there on the edge of the water. It's a place I grew up at. And I was about to get up. I was about to say, screw this. I'm just going to go home and freak out about life. But I saw something shiny in the waves coming in. This is on the North Shore of Long Island, which is notoriously rocky and not so pretty. I mean, North Shore folks will they say it's the best ever and you have to have tough feet. But so it's kind of rocky and mucky. So it was weird to see something shiny roll in. I was like, what is that? And I go over, I'm packing up my bag and it's a huge knife, a fish cleaning knife, super sharp, serrated edge. The tip is for, like, this is a dangerous item. I assume it's not from, you know, another Long Island serial killer. I assume it's from a fishing boat, right? It fell off. Someone was cleaning their fish and they hit a wave and boom. But I'm like, oh my God, that's kids and dogs come to this beach all the time. I got to grab this. And so in my head, I go, whew, yeah, good thing I stayed an extra 5 minutes, right? Good thing. And I thought that's where it ended. So I grab the knife, I wrap it in a t-shirt so it doesn't stab through the bag and stab me. And I throw it in my bag and I'm like, kind of processing, like, that was weird. And I decide to set my timer for an additional 5. Something in my gut said, just sit. And within a minute, I look down a little ways and waves are coming in. And there's a huge bundle of junk, like fishing line and seaweed, whatever, junk. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I swear with these people, blah, blah, blah. And I go off on a whatever. And I go down there to grab this bundle of junk. There's a huge, beautiful mama horseshoe crab. I don't know if you've seen them. They don't look like these kind of crabs. They're like, they look like almost a bicycle helmet with legs beneath and a long rudder that directs them. They're not pinchy. They're super ancient animals. They're related to dinosaurs. And they spend most of their life, honestly, in the Long Island Sound. They're kind of, they're not endemic to here, but they're common here. And I don't know, I grew up around them. They're really special creatures. And I see her struggling, wrapped in, like, I don't even know how much fishing line. And you know
you
where
I'm going.
You have a knife. Yes! I'm like, you know where I'm going. I go, the water said, sit down, take this knife, free this crap. Then you can go home and freak out. And I, like, when I tell you, I dropped everything and I sat there for another, like, 25, 35 minutes picking every piece out. And yeah, I just sat down and I said, like, all right, noted, heard. I heard you. I gotta be where I'm at. Yeah.
And you know what's so beautiful too is that, like, a miracle for the crab that the crab, maybe she's on her little crab podcast sharing that there was a miracle. She was stuck and somebody just happened to have a knife. But it's so beautiful that you were there with a knife to rescue her. And interestingly enough, I'm sure when you were picking out those little things for 20 minutes, you weren't freaking out and panicking about your own life. You were literally, the universe gave you 20 minutes of meditative experience to do something good for someone else.
Super true. Yeah, it was. It felt so special and sacred. And I didn't bring a knife to the beach. The beach gave
because
me
why
the-
would you?
Yeah, it's so true.
And that's so you, Erica. Erica, from my experience knowing you for several years, you know, you just find the magic. The magic finds you and you bring the magic to the party, which is, you know, it's such a glorious way to be in the world, and it's such a gift to all of us who get to know you, your students included, right? I mean, how many hundreds of students have you and who love you, right? You've had some really famous students because you live in that area,
yeah.
With rich famous parents, but it's, you know, all kids are the same. It doesn't matter how much money they have. They're always the same. In fact, when they do have a lot of money, it's even sometimes more of a challenge for them for how to work through that, right?
True. A lot of the time, because I've worked in all places with all demographics, like a Title I school in the city, where I was like 40% of the student body was living in like transient housing, like shelters, but also at this spot on the island. And yeah, all kids are just kids are just kids. And yeah, actually, Hope, you sat with me on that beach.
I sit with you on that beach, you know, and this is like more testament to like the badass that you are, because there's this giant rock that you and Anna climbed up and then jumped off. And I was, they're like, come. I'm like, I'm watching you. I'm not an amusement park girl, but it's full of like rocks and shiny gems and little stones. It's really amazing there. So Eric is in Long Island. Alina is in LA. I'm in DC. I love how we're like cornering the country, right? And having these experiences that are painful and important, you know? So Alina and I talk about this a lot. How do you stay, right? How do you stay sane? And yeah. I keep focusing on how soft my sheets are under my fingers, right? Because they're so soft. And when I lay down in bed at night, I'm just like, I am so comfortable right now. I am so blessed. This is just a huge gift from the universe to be able to lay down. There are no bombs going off around me. I mean, there is chaos. There's this, but you know, evil burns itself out.
That's what I pray for. I pray for their own self-destruction. That's what I want. They can take care of themselves.
Yeah. And that happens all the time, right? So we can't control it. We're, you know, we're bystanders in this.
But we are controlling it. We are doing something. You know, we are doing this podcast. We're sharing. We're helping other women to be stronger. Because if somebody's calling it, if somebody has a calling to go and protest, you know, by ICE facilities every single day, and they need to remember how to take care of themselves, like, this is a place to go and learn. So we are doing something we enjoy and help each other to help somebody else who is, you know, carrying out their own passion and mission and, you know, We are in control. And I feel like what you said, Erica, about like something in your gut told you, I feel like if we follow our gut as women, especially, that somehow, you know, you were placed at the right time, the crab was placed there, like everything was placed there, but everybody had their own job. And so what, sure. That's what we're doing. So we have to enjoy, like what you said, Hope, absolutely, like the sheets in your bed and like, yeah, there are no bombs, thank God. And we are safe. And at the same time, we're taking action and we can control certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Erica, we have another question for you.
Last question.
So how do you love yourself even when you don't feel great?
You know, it's a similar answer to how am I staying sane right now? Meeting myself with a lot of neutrality, of course. Not dysregulating or disrupting. Even, I know, working with kids again, even a super excitable emotion is still a very stimulating feeling. And it's sometimes good to just stay neutral. I'm not recommending to not celebrate and not feel extreme peaks of joy, but really to attempt to stay regulated as often as possible. So not feeling too dramatically at odds with yourself in any type of way. And I think also the way I take care of myself is to stick with my mantra, which is to do what you can where you are with what you have. Really meaning like the way you do one thing is the way that you do everything, how you show up in the world. Sometimes you're just stuck. You're just a sitting duck. There's not much you can do, and it is frustrating. Sometimes you're waiting in a long, long line, a queue, whatever. Sometimes you sent your email and you just have to wait for something to come back. It is boring, it's bland, but to be in that waiting moment, that limbo, the gray area, the way you would enter a birthday party, the way that you would handle someone's child being born, the way you do anything should be the way that you do everything, even in the mundane and limbo type of areas. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. That joy. And it permeates you. That's who you are in this world. You do that with everything for sure. Absolutely. I do have one more question though. Talk about your generation. What you're experiencing or what you're observing your friends are experiencing in their 30s, and also what advice you have for everyone and what advice you have for us as the elders. How can we support you guys?
Wow, man. I think, okay, so first part of your question, these are beautiful questions. First part of your question, like really what our generation is kind of feeling now, I'll speak for myself and maybe for some folks who I'm close with, but we are doing a lot of pattern recognition because it's available to look at patterns now with the internet and social media and just like a long bunch of history. We can look at it and we can start to throw in the trash what we knew, what we read in all those McGraw-Hill textbooks. We can kind of omit that and we can start to reinform ourselves with new information just based on pattern recognition. We can see people for who they are. Maybe if they've been told by whoever that this is a good guy and this is a bad guy, sometimes the good guys and the bad guys are the same guy. Sometimes that you just have to forget what they're called, good guy or bad guy, and actually just look at their actions. And pattern recognition, it will tell you everything you need to know. I'm inclined to, I joke with Anna, I always say like, shut your ears, just shut your ears. I shut my ears and I stop hearing all the words people say and I start watching at how they operate. And I see, unfortunately, like a lot of the same type of person over and over again. And that's the type of person I know, okay, I've seen this before 50 years ago in history. This is who I need to distrust. This is who I need to question. And on the other hand, same thing. I've seen this type of person before. This is the type of person who is safe. Yeah, pattern recognition.
I'm so happy to hear that because sometimes I look at people Not people. I look at those who are always on computer games and then virtual reality, and they don't even know how to have social interactions. And so it makes me wonder, do they have the pattern recognition? Can they really tell if somebody is cheating and lying? Because I'm looking at somebody we all see cheating and lying, and I'm like, how can you trust this person? You see his actions. You can say whatever he wants to say. Look at the actions. And there's so many people of my generation are still not seeing it. And to me, it is so bizarre. But I don't know if it has to do with generation or just like a normal, sensitive and logical person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could be that too. And then I guess like hope you ask like, what can your generation do for ours? I know that there's ladies like you who are older than me, yes. But I know that we are seeing and thinking in a lot of the same ways. And I travel a lot too, because as a teacher, I have the summers free and I take full advantage of being child free and husband free and partner free, whatever. And I travel and I know and have known.
Okay, but that's the thing. You travel, and I think that is the most amazing thing. When you travel, you have such different view of the world. So thank you for saying that.
True, because same thing, this pattern recognition, it crosses country lines.
Yes, exactly.
Also crosses generations, like X and Y axis, I think of it. People can land anywhere they need to land on this axis, and we can all find our type of people.
People need to travel more. Oh my God, that is such a good, like, I'm so glad you said you travel. I'm like, that's why you're so smart and you recognize patterns, because you see that some things exist in this place, they don't exist here. Why is that? Your brain starts working differently when you travel. Travel is literally the only thing you can spend money on that makes you richer, mm-hmm. and it makes you look at life so differently.
Big time, big time. I think it has really enhanced like my critical thinking and pattern recognition too, because, you can be sitting in a room with folks who are speaking a completely different language, but what you feel is what you feel, and that's crosses language also, right? And I don't know. I also, like, Hope knows this, but I'll tell you, Alina, I come from like a long line of like linguists, and I'm first generation. So I was the first one born in the US here, and everyone else was born other places. So I know what it's like to kind of be a fish out of water, or even a first generation kid, or what do they call it? Third culture kid, mix of all, whatever. Because it's an identity crisis from the minute you exit the womb. Who am I? Where am I from? Whatever. But that identity crisis is resolved when you look around. You look around for who your people are. And I've found folks in all sorts of places. Not cool, exciting places like, you know, London, Paris, blah, blah, blah. Like weird, random bus stations in the middle of, you know, like Sarajevo. Like, where am I? What am I doing? You're my person. How did I find you? So, yeah, just to really be keen, look for it, hear for it. Yeah.
I think traveling actually solves so many problems. It solves how do you love yourself, because you're like just traveling. You don't even pay attention to your own faults. You're like, oh my God, I'm traveling. This is awesome. And then you're learning. And then you see miracles of meeting people. And then you're coping with how it was happening by like, oh, look, a butterfly, you know, you switched your, or look, a knife, you know, but you switch. I think if you sit at home, you are going to be not feeling good. I think that's like what I'm hearing right now. Just makes me go, like, people who sit at home, just watch the news, and they're totally in their head and not in their body, and they're in their house. That's like the worst thing you can do for your sanity.
Definitely. And I will say that when I come home from my trips and I come back to Long Island, which I will say is not thrilling. It's not a thrilling place to be. It's Long Island. But when I come back here, I mean, everything, the smell, because it smells very salty here, the smell, my deli guy with my bacon, egg, and cheese, mm-hmm. like, which is it's gross cheese. Like, it's not even good cheese, but I'm like, my guy, my cheese, my, you know, my, this smell, it's like, smells like low tide sometimes. Ew. But like, oh man, I wasn't here and now I am here. That's
makes you appreciate home. Yeah.
Yeah. It's special. Because you come to, you move around and you move around, right? Like you said, when you travel and then you come home and you say like, all right, like I'm here. This place isn't super cool, but same feeling as sitting still on the beach when you're bored or waiting in a long, long line. Sometimes just sitting at home in your farty old apartment on Long Island is like, okay, I'm just waiting here. It's okay. I can do something now. I have more context in my head and more information. Yeah.
And by the way, when I said, you know, sitting at home is the worst thing, sitting at home the whole time, your whole life. I love sitting at home. My favorite thing is sitting at home on a couch and watching TV. But if I could do it all the time and I don't travel, if I don't get out, then I'm going to just drive myself nuts. So it has to be balance.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the glory of all that, you know, and what's so interesting is after I divorced my best friend, I walked around the world for 10 years. And now I'm back in DC, which is where we raised our kids and where I always, for some reason, this area has been a magnet for me since I was in college. And I feel so at home and so at peace and so in peace in myself, like really for the first time in my life. I don't, you know, my son who graduated, you know, I've said this before, Dylan's an architect and he graduated from Harvard. Now he's in New York. And he said, you know, I could go to Switzerland. I could go to London. I could go to Japan. You know, I have options. Where do you think I should take a job, Mom? And I said, right now in history, like before I would have said go everywhere. But now I'm like, New York sounds good to me. You know, like be where I can get to you. So right now, just, you know, December 12th, 2025, the three of us are sitting together in this magical cyberspace, right? Which is like, you know, truly magical technology. Like when I was younger, this would have never been possible.
Right.
When I first started doing these video shows with my company in 2008, we had to take a team and travel and we had all this equipment and now zoom it up. Right, me too.
But even in my, when I was in high school, this would never be possible, you know?
Yeah.
So I grew up with the rotary phones.
Right. Yeah. But these guys are digital natives and it makes so much sense to them in a way that, you know, we are like outpaced. I'm always like, how's my phone work, you guys? But this idea of being stable in your own body, you know, like you said, be where you are when you are, and you know, where
so important
what you do is how you do anything is how you do everything, right? These are fundamental truths, and I think it's, you know, it, no matter how old you are. So we're here to support you guys. We're here to support each other. That's what the questions bar is. We let our hair down. We be vulnerable. You know. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing this, Erica.
Yes,
Erica. It was very inspiring.
Thank you so much for having me too. It really does feel, and not just feel, it is important to be relating with as many folks as you can. I think like something that's super simple to do is to be at odds with anyone, an idea or a person, and to immediately highlight like why it cannot work and the differences and the bridges can't be built and this and that. And, you know, I'm so not like kumbaya when I say this, but when you do kind of feel like you're not at odds, there's just some alongsideness, parallelness, parallel play, if we're talking preschoolers again, it's healthy. It keeps us regulated. We don't all have to be besties for the resties, but it's important to just say like, all right, at least I've got some folks here. Yeah. So thank you for
besties
having me
for
on
the
that.
Resties. I love it.
Well, and also what you said, magical Erica, about, you know, you were in Sarajevo and like, here you are, you're part of my tribe. Right. So that's the magic. And that's what I've been looking for. Like in November, when Alina and I first started working together, you know, I was batshit crazy. I was just like, do you know what's coming? You guys.
I remember. I was the same way, but like, we have to have this conversation like weekly just to keep ourselves sane. And I made it through a year and a month. Like, I feel like, you know, we're checking it off.
Well, we're not going to make it through that. If this won't last 3 more years, but
no.
But my kids were like, Mom, stop. stop, you know, like, but I'm like, you guys, this is your life. And this is, you're going to have to carry on this legacy. But in this year, working with you and other women in your generation, you know, I have learned to calm myself down because AI can't control it. Making other people nuts is not the answer. But looking to women like you, Erica, to share your wisdom, because this is the torch you will carry through the rest of your lives. And this is the work you will do. And Alina, you're young as well, right? So my generation, it's a different game. But for you guys, this is, you're creating what's coming. And in your hands, I feel very, very safe. So thank you.
No, thank you. Yeah, I think it takes a village, right? And I send you hope that they like, we did it. We did not go to psycho ward this year. Like, we did it. We survived the year. We accomplished things. You started things. I've started things. And it's, you know, I love doing this podcast because I always feel so uplifted and feel like, you know, we're doing something. We keep moving. We're here. And it's going to be okay. We're going to make it okay.
Yeah, it is okay. They can't take us down. We will go down fighting. And if they, you know, we're just going to fight for what we know is right. All the women feel the same. I know that three of us have these conversations with 100 women all the time, right? And we're not going down. We're not going to let them take us down. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, power to the babies. We're doing it.
Good one. Love that.
And you got to do, Erica, you got to do the class and being like a kindergartner, because you know I see so many memes where people are like, I want to be like a kindergartner, where they tell me good job when you eat a snack and then you take a nap and they're like, well done. You know? And you know what I saw it as a meme, and I'm like, why doesn't somebody do it? But basically you tell your boss at the office that you have to go see a doctor. You walk into the doctor's office and then there's a door, and you go there and it's dark and there's blankets and you take a nap, and then when you come out you get doctor's note. And it's called not speak easy, but sleep easy.
Wow. Oh, brilliant.
When you can just go to take a nap. But I feel like naps are so important, and self-care and regulation and being your own parent is paramount to be your own parent, because that's how self-regulation is. And nobody is going to do it for you, especially when you get older. You know, it's our responsibility to regulate ourselves.
Yeah,
it really without is. Drugs too, because some people are like, well, I pop a pill or I go shopping. Yeah. And God, I love retail therapy, but you know, we have to be adults to our own little selves.
Yeah, big time. They still live in there, and I mean, half the things I see on the news, those are just dysregulated temper tantrums. I've seen that pattern in my classroom.
The White House is dysregulated temper tantrum, okay?
Yeah, that's a classroom with no teacher in it. So, you know, it's funny. My phrase that I use like a restorative justice model while teaching. And even if a child is way too excited or disruptive in a destructive way, I usually do this hand motion, and by like a few months into the school year, they know this means please don't bump the piece or bump my words or bump my learning, because they know like, oh, you're bumping into something. But it's like so funny because I mean, when I'm watching adults do this, I'm like, oh, you are bumping that person's piece right now.
I want to ask you a question. So I do archetypes, body types, face types, you know, color types. Like when I see somebody, I'm like, oh, this is their archetype, this is their face type, whatever. Do you go and look at adults and be like, they're being children right now? They're being like, however you classify children or children's behavior. Do you see that most adults really are acting like a 5-year-old children? Because I do. I see people like, you're being a child right now. It's crazy.
Definitely. And in positive and negative ways also, because like playfulness is such a special, valuable characteristic, of course. So if someone is being playful and with their art, with their work, with their relationship, amazing, good. You are the type of child you should be right now. But totally see it when I'm not going to ever name names on the internet, but some parents in the past 12 years who have dropped their kids off to my classroom, I'm like, okay, tree, apple. You're a child. You gotta regulate yourself. So, we all do. We all do.
Yeah. I mean, I know I do, and I act like a child sometimes, and I have to regulate myself. But at least I think when you become aware of the challenge, you're already on the way to, you know, I don't want to say fixing the problem, but on the way of healing, on the way of whatever result you want to get. But when you don't see that it's a problem, I think that's the biggest thing.
For sure, for sure. We have to allow the bookends of ourselves, right? You have to know that at some point in the 365-day-a-year span, you are going to act like a brat. And you're going to be a brat, and you're going to be scutchy, and you're going to be disruptive and bumping someone's peace. It'll happen, and your friends will think you're annoying or rude or whatever.
Yeah.
Also in that span, you're probably going to be like blissful and joyful and brilliant and playful. So just to expect it, but to have the strategy for when it happens. It's another term I've used in my classroom when a child is in kind of like the uh-oh moment. I usually look at them, I go, what's your strategy? And typically, oh, I'll go in the calm corner. Oh, I'm going to go read a book. Oh, I need a hug from a friend. Oh, can someone get me a sip of water? That's a lovely one. Sparkling water if you're on the North Fork of Long Island.
Oh, that's cute. You know, I did a class, not a class, but like a presentation this weekend, last weekend. And I talked about an acronym PLAY that I tell my clients when they have a craving. But I feel like it's the same with kids or when we just want to act out. What first is pause. Then you, L is listen, and just listen to what's happening in your mind. Like, I hate everybody. This sucks. You know, I have whatever. Like, you just kind of like spit it out just as a friend, you would listen. And then A is ask, what do you really want? So like when somebody's throwing a temper tantrum, you're like, well, what do you really want? And we get to like, I just want a hug, or I want to feel calm, or I want a nap, or, you know, whatever it is. If somebody's craving ice cream, they really are craving love because, you know, dairy is mother's love, or they're craving fat because they've been overthinking and their brain is working too hard. They need fat. So whatever it is, you ask. And then why is say yes. You say yes to whatever you're actually craving. So not like, oh my God, I want to eat three pizzas. You don't say yes to that, but you ask and you listen and you ask, why do you actually crave the pizzas? Oh, it's because I need to feel numb and grounded because there's so much anxiety. And when I have, you know, so much carbs, I go into this carb coma, and then fat from the in the dairy, you know, they make me feel like a hug, and they make me feel my brain is working. And so you're like, oh, oh, okay, you just need a nap and you need to self-regulate or whatever. And then you say yes to actually the need to like, oh, I want to feel calm, you know.
Oh, I'm so using that. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. That's in my book, Single and Hungry. Available. These two are available on Amazon. This one is on my website. But this book is really good. And it's great about self-regulation. It's How to Love Yourself. It's a book about food and self-love.
Oh, love that.
Beautiful. But you should write a book, you How to Treat Yourself as a Kindergartner.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right. Cool.
We're
working
on that. We're working on that, Erica.
For sure. I love it. I love it.
And that's why, you know, she's so great to come and work at Incandescent. I mean, I'm so thrilled. She's just going to change the company. And that's the whole idea, is that we come together and we make peace. You know, it's so finite, right? And it doesn't matter what we do, but it matters that we do it.
Right? Exactly. And we're doing it. We're doing it. We're showing up. We're taking time. We're sharing, we're uplifting each other.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Alina, I love you. Thank you so
much
for being on the questions bar. We're going to raise a glass, a mug of coffee, of whatever we've got. There we go. All right, ladies. Here's happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yes, this is our next episode, episode 18. Erica, we'll bring you back on and we'll see where we are in a year from now, right?
Yes.
Geez. Yeah, maybe those preschool classes. We'll see.
Yeah, I love it. I would sign up. Hey, I'm going to go self-regulate as a kindergartner.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you. Right.
Okay.
Thank you to all our readers, listeners, and all the things. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, Alina Z in LA, Magical Erica Andrea in Los Angeles. Where are you? You're on Long Island.
Oh, my God.
We'll see you on the next episode of the Questions Bar. Be well.